Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Talking Bears with you on ESPN 1000. Brian Hanley, Mark Zander. We will definitely get to the White Sox as well as touch upon the Cubs with Chris Bryant coming back to Wrigley Field. Nice little tribute there. We'll get into that a little later on, Brian. We've got more calls to take. Bear fan Bobby always has a well-thought point about his Chicago Bears, and we welcome Bear fan Bob in. Hey, Bob, how are you today?
I'm well. Good morning, gentlemen. Right. I also got to give a quick shout-out to Waddle and Sylvie. I stopped by their remote yesterday. Hi, guys. It was nice to meet you, and it was a nice remote. Anyways, moving on. In my mind, I was looking at this game, and I think this game, that's if it's called right, could rely on the defensive line, and here's why. Matthew Stafford, if you put some pressure on him, Mr. Quinn, I'm calling you out, and the other one in the backfield, what's his name, Jackson, it's time for you two to get busy. You put pressure on him, he will give you the football, okay? He will cough it up. Things can happen. Not that I think the offense is great. It's not, but with that being said, if the offense gets down into the red zone, you need to put Jimmy Graham on the field and, God forbid, send him in the end zone. So maybe if Coach Nagy, you know, calls a sound football game like a real football coach might, you might surprise a few people and you might win a game because nobody's going to expect that. They're going to expect a cute football game like, I don't know, a high school coach might call or something like that. Also, we need to see something good out of the special teams. If we see some good plays out of the special teams, you might fire the team up. You know, you never know. On any given day, you know the drill. Anyways, guys, those are my thoughts. I hope we win. I don't see it, but it would be really nice to see something like that happen.
Wouldn't it? Yes.
Guys, have a... Go ahead. What's that?
I was saying, wouldn't it really be nice? Certainly.
It's a long list of things that have to happen.
Yeah.
Though, Bob, for,
yeah, I for get all that. You know, we'd love to see it. Guys, have a great day. Thank you.
All right, Bear fan Bob. Thanks, Bob.
Here's the one guy I found who actually is calling for the Bears to throw a surprise party in Los Angeles tomorrow.
Okay.
The NFL.com's Mark Ross. They're bold predictions. Mark Ross starts off with this really encouraging, positive summary. Andy Dalton has the second worst win percentage in primetime games since 2000, a 261 win percentage. Okay? So you think he's going the other way on you, right? However, Mark says those struggles will continue Sunday night in Los Angeles. And you're thinking, how's he picking the Bears? The veteran is benched at halftime after being shut out, so no points for the Andy Dalton-led offense, mustering just 100 yards of total offense. In steps, Justin Fields,
Ohio State's very own,
who leads the Bears to a comeback win against a Rams defense that can't overcome the offseason losses of Brandon Staley, John Johnson, Troy Hill, and Michael Brockers. Fields' debut includes one passing TD and another on the ground. Mark Ross not only has the Bears winning, but Andy Dalton being benched. And once you make that move, by the way,
you can't go back. There's no way.
You can't go back.
There's no way.
You get $10 million for one half of football.
And you did hear Greeny say this week that he made an argument that Foles would come in if Dalton fails.
Well, if that happens, then everyone should be fired. I mean, if that happens, everyone should be fired.
Well, I mean, Foles isn't going to be active on Sunday.
Yeah, right. Probably not. But if he were, just follow along. What I heard Greeny said was, if Nagy is going to stick to the plan and not rush Justin Fields, then Foles would be the next guy in.
The Greeny hasn't heard the nuance, because a few months ago that seemed to be the blueprint, and it was in ink, it was, you know, etched in stone that Justin Fields was going to have a redshirt season and he's not going to see the field no matter. But a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, you started saying, and plus we saw enough wild plays in the preseason, and I know it's preseason,
right,
but we saw Justin Fields wasn't overwhelmed by anything. He even said the speed during preseason games was, you know, slower. The game was slower than he expected it to be. So the kid doesn't seem overwhelmed by anything. If anything, if Andy Dalton is bad in that first half bad tomorrow, like Mark Ross said, but if he's bad in the first four or five games, I, you know, you have to start thinking.
Yes. Yeah, no, I agree, but not the first game. Not going to happen.
Well, if you want him to win tomorrow night, I would. If Mark Ross nails this, I'm going to follow every pick he makes every week.
Well, I think we all will. I mean, he's really sticking his neck out there.
Andy Dalton's second worst win percentage in primetime games since 2000. Hey, we've bright got, lights, big stage.
Yeah.
Red rifle.
Well, look. If we did not make the Justin Fields pick, this would be it, the red rifle, and just thankfully we have a Justin Fields, because now I can't even consider not having a Justin Fields and saying we're riding the red rifle and that's it.
Are people actually out there, like our one caller saying, out of Ohio State, no good, can't be good. It's just history tells you he's not the guy.
We've got Gene calling from Dallas. He wants to actually talk about that. Hey, Gene, welcome in on ESPN.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Good morning. It was just a couple of things. Eddie, he doesn't ever need to call in a radio show. You don't analyze quarterbacks by colleges that they went to. And I'll throw this out there. I've been around a lot of kids and coached a lot of kids that are current NFL players, and I watched a lot of football. And the thing about Justin that makes him different than some of the quote-unquote top-tier quarterbacks from top conferences, Justin has been pretty much bred for what the Bears have always needed. When I say that, I mean he's been pretty much a parade All-American for 4 years of high school. He was the number one player in his class, and I've watched him just the way he processes and picks things apart once he gets in. He'll be great. However, I am on that other boat of I don't want Justin to start out right away. I'm with the let Andy play those first couple games. I think by week three, Justin probably will be in there. The reason I don't want him in there is because I really want him to kind of get a better feel for the speed of the game, having not played with the ones. If Matt would have threw him out there in the preseason against the ones, I would be super confident. I'm super confident in his ability. But I'm not super confident in Matt's play calling to keep him upright, as well as,
and the O-line, right?
Gene? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To come up with a good game plan. That's Matt and Ryan Pace. I really, really don't think that this combination is going to work for the Bears, because if you look at the roster after the first two receivers, the rest is really bare. And when I look at O-line, it's bare, and Matt is going to refuse, as we all know, to run the ball. If he runs the ball, this game could actually be won if he runs the ball, but he's not going to do it, and Andy definitely is going to throw two picks, guaranteed. So I'll hang up and listen to you guys. Thank you.
All right, Gene. Two picks. Okay, we've got over under two picks.
Okay, Matt Nagy's offense, Mark. Seven games against top five rushing defenses. And I like to see David Montgomery get a lot of opportunity tomorrow night as well. But the Rams were first in total defense under Brandon Staley as the defensive coordinator. Now he's moved on, so Raheem Morris takes over. So there is some transition there. Mm-hmm. They were the third best run defense last year. So here's Matt Nagy's offense against top five rushing defense. Seven games he's had to face top five rushing defenses. You would hope for better. 47.9 yards rushing.
That's what I said.
Yeah, 2.9 yards per play. A rushing place. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Maybe he shouldn't be giving David Montgomery a lot of opportunity tomorrow. Because
Right. We want to see him run, but does he have the plays? And obviously, we're going to be tested against a very, very tough defense in all different ways. I actually accidentally tripped the sound that I want to play for you right now. Let's hear this. This is Jay Cutler with Waddle and Sylvie talking about the Bears, how they're handling the quarterback situation.
I think it's great. I mean, I think it's what I said, whenever we talked about it the first time. I mean, him sitting and watching isn't going to hurt him. It's only going to help him. And I think that at some point he's probably going to play, unless they just light it up and they're rolling, which if that happens, that's great too. But him watching for X number of games, I don't know what they have in mind and how long it's going to be. It's going to be a learning experience for him, and he's going to see Andy who's a pro, and he's going to go out there and see how he does it, and, you know, he's going to see some third down situations. And preseason, and whenever they crank it up, like, the defenses get different. Like, everything gets faster, and, you know, you see some different stuff. So it's going to be a good process for him, and I'm sure he's probably a little bit disappointed that he's not the guy, but, you know, I like the decision.
That's Jay Cutler with Waddle and Sylvie here on ESPN 1000. You know, he's held tight to that whole thing of sit him until he's ready. We just don't know what that trigger is, right? And we've tried to get that out of him, Brian, being Coach Nagy. And, you know, I don't know. I don't even know if he knows. I think it would be ridiculous to have a hard game count unless they're trying to stay. No, they shouldn't. No. But unless... No. Look, we've been surprised by Matt before. So it is going to be based on, okay, has he seen enough? Have we seen enough of Dalton? Is it time? And I would think that three or four games, some people are picking the Lions game, which I think is, what, four or five in? I don't have the schedule in front of me.
Four. Well,
four in. Okay.
Okay, well, the cynic in me says that as long as you keep Justin Fields off the field, Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, the clock doesn't start ticking again on their future here with the Bears. Is once he hits the field as the franchise quarterback,
start that clock. Yep.
Right, because then it's a matter of how's this kid coming along. Is he, you know, is he elevating the offense to be an actual NFL offense? That, as he said, Justin Fields said on Instagram, why can't the Bears be known for offense instead of defense, which would be a nice change?
Well, he's the man to do it. We just have to give him the shot. And you're right. I think Nagy and Pace, you know, this is a pivotal year for them, even though we did not get an indication.
No, substantial progress. We have to see progress and improvement, but we'll know when we see it. There was no... We have to be a playoff team. We have to be whatever.
Right, and I'm not surprised by that. They don't want to, you know, Matt has pigeoned, or he's cornered himself by the things that he said. So certainly, you know, management doesn't want to do that either. So they're keeping it vague, but I would imagine it's got to be a pivotal season for Pace and Nagy once Fields gets on the field, and that's hopefully sooner than later. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, and we'll talk about the White Sox. Yesterday, Jose hit a 3-run home run, and they stranded some people. We saw an awful lot of arms come out to pitch for the White Sox, but we got a win over the Red Sox. They're playing again today. We'll talk about that. We'll take your calls. 312-332-3776. It's Hanley and Xander here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Hanley and Xander on ESPN 1000 on a Saturday morning. We've got the Chicago's college tailgate from 11 to 1 today with Bleck and Abdallah.
Can I tell you the Illini are a little bit of a hole already, and they're actually playing a 10 a.m. game this morning at Virginia?
What are we looking at now?
14-0. They haven't even played 5 minutes. They're down
14-0. The ACC needs to realize that 11 a.m. kicks, that's a Big Ten thing.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be 11 a.m. Central Time, not 11 a.m. Eastern Time.
Well, apparently Virginia had no issues with it because they have a 28-yard touchdown pass and a 32-yard touchdown pass and haven't played 5 minutes.
Well, and they had a rough week last week, too, so this is not...
Well, I mean, you know, Brett Bielema was all giddy over beating Nebraska, and then, you know, Texas-San Antonio happened, and they were going to rebound.
Whoops.
ILL help.
Yep. So we're talking White Sox. Last night, Carlos Rodon got 5 innings in. His pitch count was where? Somewhere
86.
In the 80s, 86?
Okay.
86. Yeah, he had... let's see, 3 hits, 7 strikeouts, and, you know, looked pretty good in a return. Michael Kopech came in. Certainly when you look at the box score, you see that we're talking about a Tony La Russa team. We had 7 pitchers in on that game, and we won that 4-3 first game against the Red Sox in a series that is happening over the weekend at Guaranteed Rate Field. Congratulations to Jonathan Hood, our very own. He was doing the analyzing the color for the radio broadcast here on ESPN 1000 yesterday. Thrill of a lifetime for him. And it was so cool to hear him do that.
Yeah, terrific. And no one deserves it more than Jay Hood, and did a great job. And so, yeah. And how important was that game, Mr. Sox fan? Because, look, it wasn't a road series. We know they've had issues on the road. We know they're very good at home. But it was big, certainly for Carlos Rodon to take a step forward, because you're not going to get 6 and 7 days rest in the playoffs, right? And I know that this was what you were speaking to last Sunday when we were talking about it, that, you know, you want a part of your rotation, but those games come every other day or every day, and then a break one day in the series. What you can't give him that kind of elongated rest,
right?
But he was obviously, the pitch count got up there, and he got through five, and you know, enough to get the win. But 86 pitches, he even talked about 10, 8, 10, 12 pitch at bats kind of did him in, but that was big because, you know, Tony La Russa said in Oakland, we got to be better. We just have to be better. And they have to be better on the road. And they have to be better against winning teams.
Yeah. He fought through it. It was a great way to come back and show progress, because we're going to need that arm. Michael Kopech as well. He's had some rough outings recently, and he showed that he had some stuff moving. And of course he's a power pitcher. It's the finesse that he has to stay consistent with, and we saw that from him last night, so that's good. And obviously Boston, they're no slouch. They're in the wild card race with the Yankees, and the Blue Jays are nipping at their heels, so they have a lot to play for too. Yes, we played at home. Yes, we beat them at home, but this was an important game. This is a very important series. Even though we have the big lead in the division, that doesn't matter anymore. I just want to see us beat good teams with winning records. Yeah, you know, let's take him at home first, and let's get to the point where we can win on the road.
Yeah, and look, the 47-24 at home, and 34-36 on the road, a 27-25 team since the All-Star break. You would hope for better. And this is the real disconcerting one, 1-6-1 in road series after dropping series at Kansas City and Oakland. That doesn't scream World Series contending team to me.
No, it doesn't. But we know that T.A. has been out. He's on the IL. He's getting the rest that he needs. He's got some nagging injuries. So Tony's playing this game to where he's like, okay, we have to deal with the injuries. We have to give the rest where it's needed, because we've got to be solid and whole and ready for when the playoffs start. There's going to be a lull at some point for everybody during the season. And right now, we've seen a bit of it, but this was, you know, the first game yesterday toward coming back and hopefully getting ready for the playoffs. And now Eloy, you know, he got hurt. He was playing yesterday, and hopefully he'll be okay. So, look, I get it. As a Sox fan, I want to see better, but we also know that you have to kind of play this situation to make sure that your players are healthy and rested as much as possible when that playoff run starts.
So in your mind, is it once everyone's healthy, everything's going to be fine once the playoffs
start? Certainly hope so, but you can't really flip a switch.
Right.
Yeah, you know, but I mean,
27-25 since the All-Star break. I mean, I get it. Time's on your side because you have an 11-game lead in the division. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see them start, I don't know, do something club like win 7 or 8 in a row. That just go ahead. They haven't had an 8-game win streak this year, have they?
You know, they had, I'd have to look back. They've had a couple of longer win streaks, but it was before the All-Star break, I do believe. Yeah, for sure. 312-332-3776. If you want to talk about your Chicago White Sox, what concerns you? Or maybe you think, maybe you're one of the fans that thinks, hey, you know what? I'll be good. People will be back. Everything's fine. La Russa knows what he's doing, you know, as far as pulling the strings and resting people and using all available assets on the team. We saw Billy Hamilton play yesterday. So weigh in, 312-332-3776. And we've got Owen from Willowbrook that wants to jump in here. You're with Hanley and Xander on ESPN 1000, Owen.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Hey, you guys talked a little bit about Kopech. I actually think the key
to this team going into the playoffs and winning is going to be Kopech and Bummer. Those guys are going to be the bridge to our bullpen. And it was nice to see Bummer do okay last night. He's been inconsistent all year. But if those two guys perform, I think the Sox are going to, you know, make some noise in the playoffs. I think they're going to, you know, do fine. But if either one of those guys struggle, I know Crochet's a young kid and he's going to step up maybe and this and that, but they're the
and they have Lopez too. But no, I agree with you. Those are the two big ones.
Just to get to Kimbrel and
I was high on Lopez a little bit, but you know, he kind of showed in his last start. You know, granted, it was a start. Mm-hmm. You know, they tapped him for three runs and three. You know, I think last time or maybe the Kansas City game, he kind of reverted a little bit to his old self. But you could maybe give him that one bad outing. But I think those two guys, they have to be the guys. And the kid that pitched last night, Tempura. You know, he might be, but I think, and the thing is, Kopech and Bummer, you're not going to get rest in the playoffs. And they've been throwing Kopech, you know, I think every, two or three, they don't bring him in that much back to back.
And so, I think the whole idea is to kind of take it easy on him because he was on the IL for a while to get him to the point where he can go more in the playoffs.
Right, and I think where he gets hurt, you guys mentioned it, and it's finesse. And I think when he gets tired, his slider flattens out. And so that's going to be, I think those two guys are going to be the key to their long run. And if we got to go into the bullpen, and you guys said it, La Russa's the guy that actually started back in the 70s, you know, specializing relievers. He was one of the first guys to do it, and he loves to go to the bullpen.
Yes, but he does. We had how many yesterday? Seven pitchers.
Seven guys.
Yeah,
seven
and Tapera, I think Tapera fits in your narrative as well because he has really come along, and I'd like to see him used a little more. But, you know, Tony is Tony, and he's going to use the arms as he sees fit. But Tapera is definitely one of the three.
Yep. Yeah.
Here's the other part of that. And you know, the bullpen was preseason was everyone was saying it's the best in baseball, and it's going to be the bread and butter of this team. The offense needs to get going much more consistently. I mean, the two runs against the Royals, no runs against the Royals in the two losses. One run against Oakland, one run against Oakland and the two losses. You know, you've got to start putting up at least four or five runs a game to consistently feel better about your postseason hopes.
I agree with that, but I will say this. They go as Anderson goes. And if Anderson comes back and he gets on base, I don't worry about them scoring runs. Because I think with him getting on base makes that whole line of, you know, change. It makes pitchers think a lot more. And when Anderson comes back, and I hope he comes back, you know, within the next few days.
Because, I think, you know, we have him, before the Boston series up. I'm hoping.
Yeah, if he comes back and he gets hot into the playoffs, and if you remember, and I still think the 2005 was a better team than this, just from their pitching standpoint. But if you remember, the Sox weren't that hot until they, you know, won those last series or two. So
they lost a 13-game lead, didn't they?
Down in
the final week. That was
a nail biter.
Yeah, and then they turned it around in Cleveland and I think in Detroit. But if the Sox, they don't have to go on a run before that. But you know, maybe a week or so get back into the swing of things in the groove. And Anderson's going to be the key to this offense, I think.
Yeah, well, he definitely has been to date. Thank you, Owen, from Willowbrook. Yeah, we have a winning record with TAN. He is a catalyst. He is a spark plug. He is the leader of this team.
They're basically a .500 team when he's out of the lineup.
Yep. And thankfully, it's not any worse. Let's hit break here. Come back. We've got a couple more calls to take for the White Sox. Then you want to talk about Chris Bryant's return to Wrigley Field yesterday. Yeah, that was pretty impressive. I like what they did for him. It must have been challenging. He didn't do well.
He had three strikeouts right away, right?
Right. Yep. That would define not doing well for sure. We'll be back to do all of that here on ESPN 1000. And we have Twitter polls that we'll end up wrapping up before 11 a.m. when we get out of here. It's Hanley and Zander, ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Welcome back into ESPN 1000 with Hanley and Xander talking White Sox up until 11 a.m. Chicago's College Tailgate Show with Bleck and Abdallah follows 11 to 1. All right, Brian, so we've got a couple more calls to take so far here at 312-332-3776 if you want to jump in. George on the north side. Hey, George, welcome to ESPN 1000. What's up? George? Is George there?
Moving on.
Calling George. Okay, yeah, we're going to move on to, let's see, Andrew is in Wheaton, wants to talk about the Sox in the playoffs. Hey there, Andrew. Welcome in.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Yep.
Well, if you look at the Sox pitching staff, you know, the top two have obviously been very good. Giolito quietly has a 3.6 ERA or so now and has been getting better as the season goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Cease, if you throw him out there and you only need five innings because you have eight or nine bullpen arms that can come in and La Russa has a short hook, I feel like they're set up really well. Offense struggling a little bit, but if you look at the amount of power that is on that team, you only need a couple timely hits. And
we haven't had TA how many games now, you know?
It's been a long time, yeah. And even when he played, he didn't look great. But when he was healthy and Eloy came up and Robert was healthy again, I mean, the team just looked electric.
And Grandal came back.
Feeling when TA plays.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that guy just gets on base all the time, and his batting average is up 50 points since he came back. I mean, the team looks good.
There's a lot to be happy
right
about.
Now.
Yeah, there's a lot to
be. If you look at Rodon, if he pitches game two, he might get that 6 days rest if he doesn't pitch again until the next series. So, you know, even with his, you know, kind of concern about how many innings he's pitched over the last couple of years, yeah, he can still get 6-7 days depending on where you throw him in the second series.
Well, you got great points, Andrew. Thanks for the phone call. You know, in Tony, we trust, Brian. I mean, you know, there are a lot of. Look,
that's a long way from when he got hired.
That is for some people.
Yeah,
I was shocked and confused, but I was never totally against it. I just had to see how it was going to work out. But you know, Tony, following his every move will sometimes drive you nuts. Ask me how I know. He certainly has the pedigree to show that he knows what he's doing down the stretch, and he's got a lot of great tools to work for.
Has he driven you into a warm bath with a bath bomb?
No, not yet. I think the Bears might do that first.
Yeah,
to me.
So that's when you're soaking in the tub, things aren't going too well.
No, soaking in the tub with a beer and just trying to chase it all away. No, it's not going well.
A cold beer in a hot tub.
Yes. You've done that. Come on. You've had a beer in a hot tub before, haven't you?
A hot tub, but not like soaking in a bathtub. I have not taken a bath since I think someone was giving me a bath way back when. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you know, whatever. Semantics. Semantics.
Yeah.
Semantics. Okay. Yeah, so the White Sox, you know, they're taking on Boston today, and Dylan Cease is on the mound. We are looking for the lineup. Don't have one just yet, but it's a 6-10 first pitch at Guaranteed Rate Field. Cease is 11-7 with a 3.87 ERA, 197 strikeouts.
Pretty good.
Yeah, you know, he has really come along. It's been quite yeah, I know. Every time I mention his name, you know who needs a bath and a beer and a bath bomb is you about that trade.
Well, not just that one.
All of them. We'll throw them all in there with you and just try to exercise the demons.
Tapera,
get rid of
them.
Yes. Well,
you're
come on. You're going to complain about the Tapera thing? You've got Nicky Madrigal. Come on.
Not so far. We don't.
Well. Yes. Next
the idea.
Year.
The idea of him is good, but I haven't seen him. But okay.
Well. No, you haven't seen him because he's on crutches. I do believe.
I know.
Right. Yeah. But he'll get there, and you'll be happy about that.
That's okay. The Schwindel's got me.
Well, it's the Schwindy
focused.
City now, pal.
That's exactly right.
I mean, my gosh. So the Chris Bryant, you know, him returning to Wrigley Field yesterday, I saw that they had, like, a nice little tribute before the game.
Yeah, it was very nice. And by all accounts, guys like John Greenberg, Steve Greenberg, Jesse Rogers are all tweeting about it, Gordon Whitmire. And by all accounts, he obviously was emotional, even though he had sunglasses on. You could see him wiping his eyes underneath the glasses.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
while he was watching the video tribute and the ovation he got from a pretty good crowd for a Friday afternoon, and mostly because I think he was coming back. But one thing I'll say about Chris Bryant, and it had to be awkward hugging Tom Ricketts.
I was just going to say, he had to stand there a photo op with Ricketts and Hoyer.
No, Hoyer wasn't there because of COVID. But Craig
Kenny. Oh, that he wasn't. Who else was in that picture then? I looked at
Jason was there. And Crane Kenny. Why Crane Kenny has to be there? You know, the head of business operations, who probably told Tom we can't afford the guy, so send him packing.
Okay, so it's even weirder now.
Yeah, it's weird. I see Crane Kenny. I'm like, really? Does he need to be out there? Of course he does. You know why? Tom Ricketts once basically said he was the most valuable player in the person in the entire organization.
Because he's a money guy.
That's right. He makes money. You know, he worked for the Tribune Company, and he bought up all the rooftops. He got the hotel built. Wrigleyville became Ricketsville, so no wonder they love him. But I don't know why he needed to be out there, and so it was great. And then they give him the 17 from the scoreboard, which has become a thing, right? They just give retired players, whenever they come back, everyone gets a medal number from the old scoreboard. And again, cynic in me says, because you don't have to go spend $50,000 on a nice watch or something.
Right, right. That's been paid for many times over, that number.
Yeah, I really. But it was the one thing I'll say about Chris Bryant, with all success and whatever the future might hold in terms of the money Scott Boras still thinks he's going to get for him and all that. God bless him. Hope he gets all he wants, but he won't, because of the injuries and the numbers have been declining. It doesn't seem to be an act. He's just a genuine, sincere, nice guy who seems to love the game and appreciate every single day he gets an opportunity to play it, whether he's getting paid a gazillion dollars or if he was just doing it for the love of the game.
Well, but wait a minute. Don't you remember he said something like, it's hard to play every day?
He was in a funk, and he said, yeah, he lost the joy.
Right. He said it was hard work. I can't remember exactly what he said, but for a guy who really pays attention to the South Side, but I do love baseball, you know, whether it's whatever side of the city, I was left feeling like, he's whining. And I just don't like when the athletes whine.
Yeah, and normally that's not him. Javier Baez whined a lot.
No doubt.
When things were going south. To the point where he's giving thumbs down in New York for a few days.
he had to backpedal real quick on that.
But walking down the street from Wrigley Field to see a mural that they, painted on the side of a wall, he just genuinely seems to appreciate being a Major League Baseball player who's had some great success in his past. Unfortunately, when all those successes were happening on the North Side, you think he was going to be a Cub for life, right? Unfortunately,
well,
Jason Hayward,
can he come back?
Unfortunately, Jason Hayward's going to be here for the rest of my life.
Right. Can he come back? You know, is
no,
Chris Bryant have any
no.
chance? Look,
no.
just what he saw, all the love after he left, what he saw,
no.
can he tell Boras, hey, let's make a deal with the Cubs?
No,
and how awkward would it be after that goodbye?
Well, I mean, Crane Kenny was actually picking his pocket while he's hugging him. So I don't think he's coming back. He's not coming back. They're not paying him.
So everybody should let that go.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like they should let go this whole idea of Dallas Keuchel's going to be on a playoff roster. Can we put that to rest? Because
no, he's going to be there.
Jeff
he'll
Passon
be some middle
Jesse
relief or something.
It. No. Did you see the last start? It was like a lot of the other starts.
It was a little better.
No.
Yeah, it was.
No.
Okay.
All right.
We'll
stop that conversation, too.
Okay.
What?
All right.
No. Stop that conversation.
All right. Fair enough. All right. Keuchel will be there. He'll just be in a limited role. I think it was Jeff Passon that said that, too.
Passon said it, and then we asked Jesse about it, and he agreed that he'll have a spot on the playoff roster.
I think so, too. Unless you have a better idea, and I would love to hear it. You've got a couple minutes to think about.
Here's my idea. Don't put him on the playoff roster.
No, I mean an actual person that would take his spot.
I don't care.
Wow. Okay.
He's useless.
Okay. So you have no solution except no.
No. Okay. I mean, I wouldn't have him on the roster next year, but you owe him $18 million and $20
million. Well, that may happen, but we have to get through the playoffs and hopefully win a World Series.
No, that's not going to happen either. He's like Jason Hayward. Who's going to take him for that kind of money?
Well, yeah, it might be one of those here, have him, and we'll pay some
of the seller.
And we'll
sweeten it with some prospects.
Yeah, something like that. All right, we'll be back for the final segment before we get to Chicago's College Tailgate with Bleck and Abdallah. Here on ESPN 1000, we've got Twitter polls to wrap up and some closing thoughts as we are ready to see the Bears in action for the season 2021-2022. It's Hanley and Zander here on ESPN 1000. This hour brought to you by Northwestern Football Chicago, Chicago's Big Ten team. College football is back, and Coach Fitz and the 2020 Big Ten West Division champions return to Ryan Field today when they take on Indiana State. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
It's Hanley and Zander here on ESPN 1000, working our way to Chicago's College Tailgate, starting at 11, going to 1 today. All right, Brian, we have some Twitter polls that you have come up with, ESPN 1000 on Twitter, and they are Bear-centric. You want to set them up, and we'll see what we got going on for results.
Yeah, because everyone other than Mark Ross at NFL.com.
Remember that name. Remember that name, yes. If they win.
Yeah. He not only has the Bears winning the game, he has Andy Dalton being benched at halftime because he comes up with no points in the first half.
Your $10 million man being benched right away.
And Justin Fields comes in and leads the Bears to victory with one passing TD and one running TD. Mark Ross, he's on the record.
Hey, did he ever say about the rest of the season? Would it just be Justin then, and then Dalton's riding the bench for $10 million?
Well, here's the thing. Oh, so one of our Twitter poll questions is, will we see Justin Fields tomorrow night at the Rams? Yes or no? And we've heard from Jay Cutler weighing in on Waddle and Sylvie. And we've heard Waddle and Sylvie saying, you know, red zone package should be just fine with them. If you do, we heard Sean McVay say he's preparing and coaching it up and planning on just seeing Justin Fields at some point for some number of series. He would not be a good head coach if he didn't, you know, have that preparation done. But if you're Matt Nagy, and I still believe as soon as Matt Nagy heard Sean McVay say he's expecting it, Matt's going to say, well, no, I'm not doing it, just to show you. But if he were to bring out Justin Fields in the red zone for even a single snap, and Justin Fields did something that made everyone get out of their seat and go, wow, don't you just accelerate and turn up the volume on this whole conversation that he doesn't want to have during the regular season?
Of course you do.
So I'm voting. Even though Justin Fields coming out there for red zone packages or a series of plays or even one or two plays that could help you win the game and upset the Rams tomorrow night, I don't think Matt Nagy wants anything to do with that, because if he puts him out there, Justin Fields could do something exciting. And then Matt Nagy's got a – he does have a quarterback.
Then the heat is really
so. –
yeah, the heat is really that's turned right. up. And it's great that McVay is getting ready for that, but I would have to agree that I would probably say I'm 60-40, that we don't see it.
I don't think Matt Nagy wants anything to do with that. So even though I think he could help you win a game by having Fields out there, Matt Nagy doesn't want to have to deal with this for the entirety of the season until absolutely necessary. So I will vote no. Tyler, how would our listeners vote on that?
So Justin Fields, the listeners think no. 62% do not think that they will see Justin Fields in week one.
Yeah, I said I was 62-38, yeah. Right? No, I said
that's exactly. Hey, you were pretty close.
Yeah.
The Bears, 7.5-point underdogs, and maybe as much as 8 or more once kickoff arrives tomorrow night. Would you take the points? Would you take the 7.5 points they're getting today and bet the Bears? Bet your first communion money on that, Tyler? What'd the listeners say?
So the listeners would not bet on the Bears plus the 7.5. 66.5% are not taking the Bears.
Okay. Now, if that line goes up, obviously, I don't know if that's going to make a difference. I'm not sure even if it went up a whole point, if I were into that. Especially with what we just talked about, that it's most likely going to be Dalton start to finish.
No, I know the pros out in Vegas would bet a two-team teaser where you give up 6.5 points the other way. So if you're betting the Rams, you take that down to a one-point game. And so they just have to win. That's one of the key games that they would team up in their two-team teasers, because it gets through the 7 and 3 points. That would be the prime numbers you have to, so that you're just betting the Rams to win at that point. I would take the points at this point. I really do believe special teams, the defense, one of those units, not necessarily Andy Dalton's offense, but defense or special teams might get you a score or give you a
well, we certainly need
field
that.
Position.
Yeah. Yeah. We certainly need. I guess I'm just not as hopeful as you are.
And our final Twitter poll question was the Bears over under on points, unfortunately, 19, low number. And that pretty much follows through what the neighborhood they were in each week last year. It was 18, 19, 20 points. And they had trouble breaking 20 points most weeks. Would you bet the over or the under? Or would you bet the over that the Bears are going to score more than 19 points? And I would guess that most people are going to bet no, Tyler.
Not only are you right, Hanley, this is the largest margin between yes and no. 80% are not betting the Bears to score more than 19 points.
Wow.
It's a hopeless situation now, isn't it, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, again, Matt Nagy, 17.7 points in opening games. In the three opening games, he's been coaching the Bears, and only 15.3 on offense on average. So
the numbers are there.
Yeah, they look at all the numbers and say, you know what, that's a mountain too tall to climb, unfortunately, when the league average last year was like 27, 28 points for typical teams on a typical week. How are you going to be a playoff team if you can't score more than 21 points?
Hey, Brian,
one
game at a time.
That's it. Laser focus there, Mark. Yeah, that's it.
We've got Chicago's College Tailgate starting at 11 with Bleck and Abdallah coming up. Of course, you're home for White Sox baseball. 6:10 start tonight with the pregame at 5:30. And we've got, Bleck and Abdallah coming up. Brian, it's been a pleasure hanging with you once again here on ESPN 1000. Tyler, thank you for all of that
thanks to
behind
our
the scenes work,
thanks
and thanks to the callers. All right, we'll see you later.